Alrighty, are we ready for God's Word this morning? I like that. Thank you. Open your Bibles with me, please, this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 20. Gospel of John chapter 20. Hold your finger there because we're not going to read the scripture right off the bat. We begin a series of messages that I've entitled Testing Ground. Last week, I'd like to start series as the last Sunday of the year and carry over into the new year. And basically, we said that at times in life, we get stuck in a season. We get stuck in a phase of life. We get stuck in a relationship. We get stuck in a place in life or in a geographical place as well. And it seems like our lives, to quote Terry Fowler, he gave me this last night. I thought, man, why didn't I think of this? Darn. He said, we get stuck in a revolving door. And so our lives are the composite of nothing more than lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat. We repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. We know we should do better. We know we can, by the help of God, do better. But somehow, because of something broken inside of us, we lather, rinse, repeat. We're stuck in that revolving door. You know, I said that when I was back in the dating scene, back and had met some women that apparently they were interested in meeting me, and some of them had been on their third marriage, and the next one would have been their fourth marriage, and it's okay. You know, I'm not throwing stones. But every single one of the husbands they had were abusers. And I'm thinking, shouldn't you have learned on man number one? But I think they maybe had the mentality that husband number two was automatically going to be better than husband number one, when in reality it was more of the same as husband number one. Husband number three was more of the same as husband number two. And so they have this trail of failed relationships where they only have experienced abuse in marriage and not a healthy marriage. Does that make sense, church family? Listen, I'm not throwing stones. I'm not judging anybody, okay? Is that clear? Can I get an amen, please? All right. Sometimes when I use illustrations, I use it to flesh out, to make the point more concrete, not to throw stones, all right? I've learned that anytime I point a finger at somebody, there are three pointing back at me. All right. Suffice it to say, that's all I need to say about that. But there are also other issues. Sometimes there are vices that we have. You know, we can't get over the hump. We can't break a hold. We can't break a sinful pattern in our lives because we are stuck. Now, the call to worship that I read a little bit ago, Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God said, listen, I brought you to the wilderness to test you, to humble you, to see what was in your heart. Well, the Lord knows what's in our hearts, but He wants to reveal to us what is actually in our hearts. And He said, listen, I want you to see what's in your heart. And with the people of Israel, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 2 says that really, technically, from the Red Sea to the Promised Land is only an 11-day walk. Basically walked around Mount Sinai over and over. That was their revolving door, Terry. Over and over for 40 years. And even then they could not enter the Promised Land. We said that there are two things that we basically do in life. We leave and we enter. We enter and we leave. We left our mother's womb, we entered infancy, we left infancy, we entered childhood, we left childhood, we entered adolescence, we left adolescence, we entered adulthood, right? And this is the point of why I say that the way we leave a phase in life, the way we leave a season in life, the way we leave 2020 is precisely the same way we're going to enter a phase in life, a season in life, a new relationship, yoo-hoo. Amen? And the way we're going to enter 2021. I don't know why people think that the new year is automatically going to be magic for them. Like the good Lord is up in heaven and has Tinkerbell by the feet, head down, and He's sprinkling some pixie dust all over the human race saying, hey guys, don't worry, 2020 is over, 2021 is going to be beautiful for you. But why do we think that way? How many of us know that 2021 is going to be what we make of it?
Amen.
In spite of the externals. Now, why do I say that? Because we can, listen, we can do as some of those ladies did when they were, when I was communicating with them. They said, well, all men are fake. All men are users. All men are abusers. Church family, is that true? Are all men users and abusers and fake? No. I see a lot of good men in this sanctuary.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies. Let me say that again. Maybe the ladies can give the men some love. I see a lot of good men in this sanctuary.
Amen.
That don't abuse, don't use, aren't fake. They love their wives. They love their children.
Amen.
Most of all, they love the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. See, I'm going to turn you guys into a Pentecostal church yet. Some of you are already breaking through your deodorant. No. Are we going to handle snakes? No. Are we going to... No. Chill, everybody. I'm teasing. That's, do take out your hankies, and I want them waved at me. Let's get the point, right? Now, this week's installment, I'm going to talk about relationships specifically. Relationships. How is it, hypothetically, or not hypothetically, but because this does happen for real, how is it that someone who was raised with with abusive parents or an abusive father or an abusive mother, and I mean emotionally abusive, physically abusive, sometimes even sexually abusive, how is it that that victim of that grows up saying to themselves, I will never be like my mother, I will never be like my father, I will never be the way they were to me, and guess what happens? They become the exact same thing that they said in their hearts they were never going to be. Amen? Who's ever heard of stories like that? You know, when I was married, my ex-wife Gabby's mom used to work at a daycare before we had any of our kids. And she had a friend there, and Cheryl, that's my ex, her friend. She grew up in a household where there was an alcoholic father. He was abusive verbally. He was abusive physically to this girl. And she said, I'll never marry anybody like my father. So when she was an adult, she ended up marrying a really good guy that loved her, genuinely loved her and everything. But you know what happened? Because listen, this is the testing ground, church family. You can get a person out of an abusive environment, but how many of y'all know that that abusive environment doesn't always leave that person on the inside? And she was bored spitless with that loving relationship and that loving man, that she divorced him because inwardly she was used to all the chaos, all the profanity, all the throwing stuff, all the violence. Come on, somebody. And she ended up with a guy. Oh, they're always good looking. You know, baby, because I've heard it before. Pastor Joe, you don't know how good they look in those jeans. I'm like, baby, why don't you go take a cold shower and get your head on straight, because they're not going to be looking too good at 2 in the morning when they keep hammering on you. Why do women do that? They just fall for the looks. Can't judge a book by the cover, baby. I don't care how wonderful a cover they have. Oh, you guys have a crazy... You're right. I like to do... That's one of my spiritual gifts, is digging myself a hole. How many of y'all know that you got a crazy pastor on your hands?
Amen.
How many of y'all wouldn't trade me for the world?
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for those three hands and those two hearty amens. Some of y'all others, I'm going to be sleeping with one eye open. Anyway, so where was I? What's that?
In a deep hole.
Yes, in a deep hole. Let me climb myself out. So this gal married a good-looking guy that abused her, that ran around on her, that cheated on her, that would come home stupid drunk every night. And she said, She said in a moment of vulnerability, she had said to my ex-wife, she said, you know what? Something is broken in me because I dumped the guy who really loved me, and now I'm stuck with a guy who takes advantage of me, uses me, doesn't love me, doesn't show me love. Come on, somebody. It's a testing ground. God told the Israelites, yo, I took you out of Egypt, but he told them, I cannot seem to get Egypt out of you. How many of us know that we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but some of us still have some of the kingdom of darkness in us? We want to keep going back. What happened every time the Israelites were tested? They were tested 10 times. That's why I entitled this series Testing Ground. 10 times. They all always failed the test, and this is how they failed the test. God had provided for them. God had sustained them. God was good to them. How many of y'all would agree with me that God was good to those rabble-rousing 2.5 million bunch of complainers? And then this is how they failed every test. We had it better in Egypt. We had fresh drinkable water in Egypt. We never died of thirst. We had leeks and onions to eat in Egypt. Wow. It's a testing ground. So I'm asking, looking at 2021, are we carrying baggage from 2020, not understanding that the way we leave is the way we enter? How many of y'all see this as a relevant message for all of us? Listen, it applies so many different, it applies to me. Different areas of our lives that I have to look at myself and take inventory and stop blaming every past crummy year and stop blaming every crummy phase in my life and stop blaming every crummy season in life and stop blaming every crummy failed relationship in life. Come on, somebody. Good teaching. All right, so now that we're talking about relationships, let's read. I bet you think I forgot about John 20. I did not forget. All right, we're going to read John 20, but before, I've got to set this up, church family. I've got to set it up. Listen, because the Bible is progressive in its revelation. How many of y'all know that there is more revelation about the entire Bible in the New Testament than there is in the Old Testament? It's been set this way. The Old in the New Testament, the Old Testament in the New Testament is concealed. No, wait. The New Testament in the Old Testament is concealed. The Old Testament in the New Testament is revealed. So revelation is progressive. God didn't give them the whole bale of hay back in the Old Testament. He slowly gave us more bits of revelation, right? With time, so that we receive a bigger picture in the New Testament that we do in the Old Testament. Why do I say that? Listen, because when it came time to sinning, in the Old Testament, people only understood sinning against the Lord. Okay? What about Psalm 51? What did David pray? Against Lord, against you, and you only have I sinned. So people's understanding of sinning was just against God in the Old Testament. But then we go to the New Testament, and in Luke chapter 15, in the parable of the prodigal son, listen to the rehearsed speech of the son as he's walking home. He said, I will go home and I will tell my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. So we have a further understanding that we not only sin against God in the New Testament, we can sin against other people. Can I get a witness? Amen. What did Jesus say in chapter 18, verse 5? If a brother sins against you... So let me ask you this easy question, since I ask some of the dumbest questions, right, Connie? So can we sin against other people? Yes. Can other people sin against us? Yes. Who's ever had somebody sin against you? Yes. All right? All right. Now that we have that understanding, John chapter 20, let's jump into verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, "Them, the disciples, peace be to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." Notice carefully the second half. "If you retain the sins of any, they are what?" They are retained. Now, I know some translations say they are not forgiven. Let me say, that's not a good translation. Sorry. It's they are retained. Because how many of y'all know that whether I forgive someone or not, if they repent, God's going to forgive them. Amen. God forgiving them does not hinge on my forgiving them. Right? But this translation, or the translation says that if you do not forgive anybody's sin, that God's not going to forgive them. That I don't have that power over another human life. Right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Right? Only one who can forgive sins. Anyway. So notice, we can retain the sins of others. Why is it then, as we've been saying, that somebody can repeat? Because you know what's happened? When they were sinned against, they retained those sins in them, and that's how they perpetuated the same behavior. They did not forgive. They did not forgive. When you forgive somebody, you release them. Their sin is not retained with you. See the value of forgiveness? When we forgive somebody, we release a prisoner, and we realize the prisoner we release is ourselves. In the interest of time, I'm just going to shoot you some really powerful thoughts, okay? Another one. If we don't transform our pain, we will transmit our pain. When we've been sinned against, how many of y'all know that some people have suffered a lot by being sinned against? Their childhood innocence was taken. Some people, even into adulthood, still struggle with some of the memories. They need their memories healed. I believe in the healing of memories. That they need healing. They need to transform their pain. How do we transform our pain caused by somebody else's sinning against us? We forgive. Because if we don't forgive, we will transmit that same pain to others. Plainly put, as I'm sure we've all seen it on social media, if we do not forgive others, we will bleed on people that never even cut us. Right? Is this good teaching, guys? Is this relevant? We can retain the sins of others. We don't want to retain their sins. We want to forgive their sins. We want to let them go. Okay, in short order, I'm going to give you the three-step process of forgiveness. Forgiveness has three stages. Very simple, but profound. How many of us know that when someone sins against us, and they sin against us deeply, they cut us deeply, that to us, we reduce them to the size of their offense. They're nothing more than cheaters. They're nothing more than liars. Amen? They're nothing more, they're nothing but. So the first step of forgiveness is we, number one, rediscover their humanity. Okay, so we rediscover their humanity. How many of y'all know that they're human? Even though in our hurt, in our pain, they were nothing more than a sinner, a slobbering, sniveling serpent that attacked us. You know, when we let our emotions calm down a little bit, we pray that we begin to think with a measure of objectivity. And the first step of forgiveness is saying, you know what? They're human. I don't have to talk to them. Come on, somebody. I don't have to be friends with them anymore. I don't have to trust them. But in my heart, I realize they're human just like me. Fallen just like me. Right? Capable of sinning just like I am. But I don't have to trust them. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to be with them. That's the first step. We rediscover their humanity. Second step, we release the right to get even. We give up the right to get even. Not going to get even. That's the second step. Interesting. Nietzsche had a quote, very powerful. He said, if the whole world practiced an eye for an eye, all of us would be blind. Very profound. That's powerful. That was worth your offering right there. Sorry. So we want to release that right. It's a human right to feel offended. It's a human right to feel sinned against. Am I right, church family? Hey, that's part of being human. We feel that. So what I'm suggesting is feel it. Don't stuff it. Anger that is stuffed becomes depression. Don't stuff it. Process it healthily. Talk to the Lord about that offense. Talk to a trusted friend about that offense that cut you deeply. And then let it go. Now let me say here, for some people, letting it go takes a little longer than others. Man, this is why sometimes when some Christian says, you need to let it go, I want to just say, shut up. People process different. Let it go when the time is right to let it go. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a practice of worship where they took two scapegoats. Remember that? And they would do what to their heads? They would place their head, the hands on the head of the scapegoat, and pronounce the sins of a nation upon them. One they would kill and sacrifice. The other one they would do what? They would release into the wilderness, right? So basically what you're doing, you're not killing them in your heart and sacrificing them, you're letting them go. Let me say here, by releasing them in my heart does not make what they did okay. It does not minimize the way they sinned against me. It does not trivialize the way they sinned against me. Right? They're still accountable for their actions. They're accountable to God. Amen? And they're accountable to me. That's why I have to let them go. Number three, stage three of forgiveness. We revise our feelings. Let me say here, before I explain that third one, forgiveness is a journey. The deeper the wound done to you, the longer the journey's gonna take. Right? No one can tell you to get over it. You have to work it out at your pace in context of your relationship with God. So when we revise our feelings, listen, we begin to feel good feelings. Maybe not initially, but eventually. We begin to feel good feelings. And listen, this is the sign. How do I know that I have completed the three stages of forgiveness? When I think about them, I can wish them well in my heart. That's not to say that I'm going to be their friends. That's not to say that we're going to go have a root beer together. That's not to say that I'm going to talk to them. That's not to say that I'm going to hang out with them. That's not to say that does not excuse what they did. Come on, somebody. Revising our feelings simply means that we no longer want to see them turn and burn in the rotisserie of their own remorse. Boy, that's a satisfying feeling, isn't it? Suffer. But we let that go with time. Why is this important? Because I don't want to repeat what people have done to me. I don't want to repeat what people have done to me. I want to give my future a shot at working out. Don't you, church family? I want to give 2021 a good shot at being a happier year, a healthier year, and a year of maybe whatever it looks like, a better measure of normalcy, whatever that looks like. So, all right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, for helping us understand it in a practical manner. Father, we offer ourselves to you. We surrender, Lord God, and we say, Father, help us with this forgiving process, Lord. It is truly a journey. It's a process. It's not like flipping a switch and it coming on and off, Lord, at will. Father, help us. Give us grace. Give your people grace. Now that they have a concrete roadmap of what forgiveness looks like in their hearts, in your presence, Father, in your eyes. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.